All right, so imagine this. You lend someone money and they say, pay me back when I feel like it. That's not fair.
Not really. And that's basically what's at the heart of this case, Strong v. Sheffield.
Yeah.
This case is super important to contract law even today.
Wow, yeah, from 1895.
Yeah. It all comes down to this idea of consideration, basically. For a promise to be legally binding, you got to have a real exchange of something valuable.
Right, so like not just good intentions or just like a verbal agreement.
Exactly. You need like a quid pro quo, something solid from both sides.
I see.
So today we're going to break it all down. We've got a legal brief, some excerpts from a law review article,
Oh, cool.
and even the actual court opinion from the New York Court of Appeals.
Oh, wow. So we're going deep.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to dive in.
Yeah.
So, who are the players in this case and what exactly happened?
All right. So picture this. You've got Benjamin Strong. He sells his business to this guy, Gerardus Sheffield. But here's the thing. Gerardus buys it on credit.
Oh.
And as you might have guessed, Gerardus struggles to make those payments.
Okay. Yeah, that's usually how these things go. So what happens next?
Well, Strong wants to make sure he gets his money, so he gets Gerardus to sign a promissory note.
Okay.
A promissory note's basically a fancy IOU.
Right.
But Strong, being smart, wants more security. So he also asks Gerardus's wife, Louisa, to co-sign the note.
Oh, to like back it up?
Yeah, exactly. Or in legal terms, endorse it.
Okay. I mean, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but endorsing a note sounds like a big deal. What's in it for Louisa to take on that risk?
You're right. It means she agrees to cover the debt if Gerardus can't pay. And Louisa, she knew what she was doing, so she wasn't going to do it for free.
Right.
Strong promises her that he won't try to collect the debt until he decides he wants the money.
Clever.
So at the time, it probably felt like a pretty sweet deal for Louisa.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she's basically off the hook indefinitely, or at least it seems that way on the surface. But I'm sure there's a twist coming.
Oh, there is definitely a twist.
Yeah.
2 years pass. Strong keeps his word, doesn't bother Louisa, then bam, he decides to sue her.
Wait, what? I thought they had a deal he promised to wait.
He did say that, but that's really the whole issue of this case.
Oh, I see.
Was Strong's promise even real consideration?
I see.
Did he actually give up something valuable in exchange for Louisa co-signing, or was it just all talk?
So it's not just about what was said, but like, was there a real exchange of value?
You got it. And this case went back and forth. The trial court sided with Strong,
Okay.
but the appellate court, they said, nope, reverse it.
Wow. So it ended up going all the way to the highest court in New York.
It did. It became a real legal battle.
Oh, courtroom drama.
Yeah.
So what did the New York Court of Appeals think about all this?
Well, they took a deep dive into contract law and this idea of forbearance. Yeah, it
Forbearance.
basically means delaying debt collection. They said, okay, so forbearance, it can be valid consideration,
Okay.
but it's got to be specific.
Specific, like how?
Well, like Strong could have said, I'll wait 6 months or something like that.
Okay.
Or he could have tied it to something objective, you know? Like, I'll wait until Gerardus gets a new job or until interest rates rise.
Right.
But Strong's promise, it was way too open-ended.
I see.
He basically had total control over when and even if he decided to collect.
So it was like him saying, yeah, I'll wait, but maybe someday if I feel like it.
Right. It wasn't a solid commitment.
So I'm guessing the court sided with Louisa because Strong's promise was basically meaningless.
They did, but here's the interesting thing. Strong waited for 2 whole years before he sued.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You'd think that would show good faith on his part.
Right. He could have gone after Louisa right away, but he didn't. So shouldn't that count for something?
Well, it does make you think,
Yeah.
but that's where contract law gets a little tricky. Like
Okay.
sometimes the rules don't really seem to line up with what feels fair.
Yeah.
But in this case, the court, they were really focused on the agreement that was made at the very beginning, not so much what happened after.
So it didn't matter that Strong waited those 2 years.
Nope.
It all came down to that original promise. Exactly. The court's message was loud and clear, good intentions. They don't equal a legally binding contract. What matters is that initial agreement, that exchange.
I mean, it makes you wonder how many times things go wrong, even outside of like legal stuff, because of that kind of vagueness.
Oh, all the time. Think about like splitting rent with a roommate or, you know, borrowing money from family.
Right.
Even making plans with friends. Like, if those expectations aren't clear from the start, things can get messy.
So, Strong v. Sheffield, it's a lesson for all of us.
Absolutely. Whether you're signing a contract or just making a casual agreement, being specific about what you expect, what you're offering in return, it can really save you trouble down the line.
Okay, so besides being a good life lesson, it's obvious this is like a landmark legal case. But can you break down for us why exactly is Strong v. Sheffield so important even today?
Sure. So for one thing, it set a precedent for how courts look at forbearance in contracts.
Forbearance, right? That whole delaying debt collection thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So anyone drafting a contract where one party is agreeing to wait for something, whether it's payment or performance or whatever, needs to be super clear about how long that waiting period is.
So it's like a cheat code for writing solid contracts.
You could say that, but of course, each situation is different.
Right.
But Strong v. Sheffield, it definitely provides a framework for thinking about these things. It highlights how important clear communication and mutual obligation are.
Right. Both sides got to be making real commitments.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's not really an agreement. It's just one person dictating the terms.
Speaking of which, some people might say that Louisa, she got off easy.
Yeah.
I mean, she signed that note. Her husband owed the money, and she managed to get out of paying anything. Does that really seem fair?
It's a valid point. And it raises the question of, does legal fairness always line up with what we think is morally right?
Right.
But the court, in this case, they were just focused on whether the contract itself was valid.
So they stuck to the letter of the law, even if the outcome didn't feel super fair?
Exactly. And that's really important. Imagine if courts were always reinterpreting contracts based on what felt fair or how people behaved after the fact.
Yeah, there'd be chaos.
Exactly. The legal system needs consistent, predictable rules. Strong v. Sheffield, it reinforces that principle.
Oh, okay. So consistency is key.
Yeah.
But I'm still kind of hung up on that 2-year waiting period.
Yeah.
Strong did wait, even though that initial promise was vague. Did the court consider that at all in their decision?
It's an interesting question. It shows how tricky these concepts can be, but the court was crystal clear that it was all about the initial agreement, not what Strong did later.
So their message was basically, actions speak louder than words.
Well, more like written agreements speak louder.
Okay, I get it.
It doesn't matter what's understood or what happens later. It all boils down to that original contract.
So even if Strong had waited like 10 years to sue Louisa, the issue would have been the same.
Exactly. Was there a valid contract in the first place? And in this case, because that promise was so open-ended,
right,
it wasn't seen as a real commitment.
So even though Strong maybe meant well, that leniency ended up hurting him because it wasn't spelled out clearly.
Yeah, and it all comes back to that cheat code we were talking about. If Strong had wanted to give Louisa some flexibility, he needed to say it clearly.
Right.
Instead of just, I'll wait till I feel like it. He could have said something specific,
right,
like, I'll give you 6 months, or, you know, I'll wait till Gerardus finds a new job, something like that.
So by being specific, he could have made that leniency actually legally sound.
Exactly. And who knows, Louisa might have ended up having to pay something.
True. True. Well, we've covered a lot. We've seen how Louisa got out of paying and why Strong v. Sheffield is such an important case.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's more to this story, don't you? It goes beyond just one woman's debt.
It does. Yeah, we've spent a lot of time like on the legal ins and outs of Strong v. Sheffield. But what about the human side of it all?
Right. I mean, it's easy to look at this case and just think Strong was in the wrong, but maybe it wasn't that simple. Yeah, maybe he really did want to be nice, give Louisa a break, but he just didn't know how to make it official legally.
Exactly. Maybe Strong was trying to be generous, or he just didn't understand how important clear legal agreements are, Strong v. Sheffield. It's not just about contracts. It reminds us that even when we mean well, things can go wrong in how we communicate.
Yeah, it really makes you think how many relationships have fallen apart because of, you know, vague agreements, things left unsaid.
Right. All the time, probably. Think about loans between family or friends, those we've got to deal. Handshakes in business without clear terms, those can turn into big problems.
So what's the big lesson here besides, you know, being careful about lending money to people you're close to?
I think it's this clear communication. It's like the foundation of any agreement, no matter how big or small, like borrowing your neighbor's lawnmower or a $1 million business deal. Being clear about what you expect, what you're offering, and what happens if things go sideways, it can save a lot of trouble.
Okay, so clarity is key. But let's get back to Strong v. Sheffield for a minute. We've said that Strong's vague promise didn't count as real consideration. But what if he had given Louisa something concrete right then and there?
Okay.
Like, hey, if you sign this, I'll give you $100 cash.
Yeah.
Would that have changed things?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Offering a specific payment up front like that would definitely change the whole consideration thing.
Oh, I see.
It's no longer just a maybe someday promise.
So, but putting actual value on the table right then and there Strong would have created a clear exchange, like money, for Louise's signature.
Exactly. That's what makes a contract valid, a bargain where something of value is given for something of value received.
Okay.
In this case, that $100 would probably have been enough for the court to say, okay, there's consideration here, which would make Louise's obligation to pay much more solid.
Wow. So even a small immediate payment could have tipped the scales in Strong's favor. It shows how important those specific terms are.
Absolutely. And it shows that consideration doesn't have to be huge or even equal in value. It just has to be something that the court sees as a real exchange.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Strong v. Sheffield,
yeah,
what are the big takeaways? What should our listeners be thinking about as they go about their day, you know, negotiating deals, maybe even lending money to friends?
I think there are three main things to remember. First, vagueness. It's a recipe for unenforceable agreements. So whether it's a contract or a casual deal, be specific. Second, good intentions. They don't magically make a contract binding. You need that clear exchange of value, that quid pro quo, and finally, clear communication. It's crucial in every part of life, not just legal stuff. It can prevent misunderstandings, help build stronger relationships, and save you from a lot of headaches.
Great advice. Strong v. Sheffield might be an old case, but its lessons are still relevant. So next time you're making an agreement, remember to channel your inner legal eagle. Be specific and make sure everyone's on the same page.
And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into Strong v. Sheffield. Thanks for joining us on this exploration of contract law.